Hey everybody, Jeff here, and I am happy to report that Your Move is expanding our TV broadcast to a brand new city. And it's not just any city. It's the city that performs an average of 315 weddings per day. It's the city that shines brighter than any other city on Earth, when seen from outer space. It's the city that never uses dice with rounded corners. It's the city that never sleeps. Figured it out? That's right. Your Move is now airing on NBC after Saturday Night Live in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we could not be more excited. And we have you to thank. Your continued support and financial generosity is helping us reach more people in more cities. So from Andy and everyone on the Your Move team, thank you. Now, we realize this question may seem rhetorical, but do you have friends or family in Las Vegas whose lives would change if they started making better decisions? If so, perhaps you could help them find Your Move, now airing on NBC after SNL. We really do believe that the next 30 minutes will help you make better decisions and live with fewer regrets. So today, we're going to continue with Andy's third message in a six-part series, Ask It. The time you have on Earth is one thing you can't make more of and you can't control. In this episode, Andy Stanley explains how to make the most of it.
The name of this series is Ask It, and the subtitle is The Question That Answers Just About Everything. And so for 6 weeks, we're essentially talking about one single question, and the reason we're talking about it for 6 weeks is because we don't want this to just be a message or even a message series. We really hope that this question becomes a filter through which you evaluate every invitation, every opportunity, every decision that you make. We think this is a question that will reduce the tears that you cry, the stress in your life. It'll save you money, it'll save you time, and it'll certainly save you a lot of regret. And the question, and as soon as we reveal it, we're all going to say it out loud with enthusiasm. The question is, what's the... One more time. There you go. And then we kind of tease this thing out into basically a three-dimensional question. And here's the three-dimensional part. Let me read this to you. It's in light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Or what is the wise thing for me to do? In light of my past experience, because my past experience is different than yours, and yours is different than mine. In light of my current circumstances, my current stage of life, what's going on right now around me. And in light of my future hopes and dreams, not what is the right thing to do. This is a better question than that. Not what is the legal thing to do. This is a better question than that. And not what is the least I can get by with. Okay, hopefully you left that behind you in middle school. Some of you are still working on that. It's a better question than that. The question is, what is the wise thing to do? Now, today we're going to talk about time. Time, the wise use of time. Job, in the Old Testament, Job said this. He said, A person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set the limits he cannot exceed. Job actually believed, and other Old Testament writers especially believe, that God sort of set a time limit on everybody's life. Now, you may or may not believe that, but here's what we all know for sure. Your time's running out. Right? I mean, somebody turned the hourglass over, the hours glass, the weeks glass, the years glass over, and our time is running out. We all have a limited amount of time, which means we can overeat, we can overspend, we can overachieve, but you can't overlive, right? At some point, your time runs out, which means far more important than what time it is what you're doing with your time. Your time is your most valuable asset. It's the most valuable thing you have because there's not going to be any more of it. You know this, right? You can make more friends. You can make more money. You can't make more time. You can count your money. You can count your friends. But you can't count how much time you have left. So if ever there's an area where we need to ask the question, what's the wise thing to do? It has to do with our time because it is the most valuable thing you have and it is limited. And most of us are already old enough to know that be able to look back at a certain season of our life or seasons of our life and we think, I wasted so much time. I gave away so much time. I misspent so much of my time. So going forward, as you begin to ask the question, a lot of my past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, it should become clear to you how you spend
your time.
So to get us all on the same page and to kind of get us all emotionally connected, I want to make four observations about time. Now, I don't think any of this is new. I don't think anybody's going to go, ah, I didn't know that. I think I might say it in some ways you haven't thought about it before, but four quick observations about time that underscore the importance of asking this question as it relates to your time. Now, here's the thing. Everything we're about to say is so appropriate and it's so applicable, and you don't have to be a Christian to apply this. You don't have to be a Christian to believe this. But the interesting thing is, the thing that drives our discussion is actually found in the scripture. But if you are a Christian, okay, if you're a Jesus follower, if you really believe that God somehow has something to do with your life and you consider God your heavenly Father, if it's personal for you, then this is mandatory. Because here's what Christians believe. Christians believe that every good and perfect thing comes from the Father. And Christians believe that our time, our opportunity is a stewardship, that everything comes from God, everything belongs to God, and we manage it. And one of the things that you've been given the opportunity to manage and to handle is your time, which equals to your life. Your time is your life. So here's four observations to kind of move us all in the same direction. Number one, investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Or maybe let me give you a new word, new vocabulary word. It's summative, which means the same thing as cumulative. Investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Let me give you some illustrations. You get this. If you exercise 30 minutes a day, 3 or 4 days a week, week after week after week, year after year after year, it's cumulative. If you eat right week after week, year after year, it's summative. It's cumulative. Over time, these things build up. But there's no benefit, and here's where we get in trouble. There's no benefit in one installment, and there's generally no consequence in missing one. This is why it's so easy for you to talk yourself out of exercising, right? Because somebody calls and says, hey, let's do such and such, and you were planning to work out, and you're like, what do you say? You say, missing one time won't hurt anything, and you're right. Missing one installment doesn't hurt anything, all right? And missing one installment of just about anything doesn't hurt anything. And giving yourself or making one installment doesn't help anything. If you haven't exercised in a long, long time and you decide to go work out, after one workout, nobody's gonna walk up to you and go, wow, something different, right? Because one installment of exercise doesn't really make any difference. It's constant deposits over time. And in the key areas of life, it is those single constant deposits that make all the difference in the world. They're cumulative, they're summative. Number two, second observation, is neglect is cumulative as well. If you choose not to exercise, in other words, if you set a goal, put it up in your mirror, my goal is not to exercise 30 minutes a day, 3 days a week for a year. That's cumulative as well. Neglect is cumulative. The problem is, as you know, neglect is easy, right? And neglect is costly because it's small deposits over time in the key areas of life that make all the difference. And when we choose to neglect what's important, which is easy, it's costly. And here's the thing, and I don't want to pry or, get you too stirred up. But if you think investing in your health is time consuming, and if you think investing in your health just takes too much time, even though it's not that much time, just wait till you get to the point where something happens to you physically that could have been avoided, that you didn't avoid, and all the expense and all the time and all the distraction you're gonna have to deal with. Some of you have seen this with your parents or perhaps your grandparents who never took care of themselves physically, and now they would give anything to be able to go back and eat better and exercise. Number three, random has no cumulative value. Again, this is something you don't think about, but this is important as we think about wise use of our time. Random has no cumulative value. There's no cumulative value in the random things that we opt for over the important things. There's no cumulative value in the random things that we opt for over the important things. Let me illustrate it this way. If in this hand, you were to put 30 minutes a day, week after week after week, year after year of exercise, and if in this hand, you were to put all the things that you chose to do instead of exercising, this would add up to nothing. In fact, what did you do last year instead of exercise? You have no idea because it's not cumulative. You can't point anything. You say, well, I slept in. Well, what do you have for all that sleeping in? Nothing. I did email. What do you have? Nothing. I worked a few extra hours. Let's put all that in a pile. What do you have for all the things that you did instead of the things that were important? Nothing. There's no cumulative value because you neglected the important things for a bunch of random things. And when you add up random, you get random. So again, when it comes to wise use of our time, this is so important because small deposits over time of the important things in life are cumulative. They add up. If you want to be great at a musical instrument, it's 20 minutes a day, every day, 5 days a week. What did you do instead of practice? Let's take all the things you did instead of practicing your musical instrument. What does it add up to? Nothing. Because random isn't cumulative. It adds up to nothing. And then the fourth observation is this. In the areas that matter most, in the areas that matter most, you can't make up for misspent time. Now, this is really important. In the areas that matter most, you cannot make up for misspent time. Or let me just say it more directly. In the areas that matter most, you can't pull an all-nighter, all right? Here's the deal. In school, I mean, and this is the problem, was in school, most of the things we did in school, we could do an all-nighter and catch up on, you know, if you didn't go to that, remember that class you didn't go to, and then you got past drop ad where you could get your money back, and your parents said, well, you're paying, and you're like, well, I can't pay. So you stayed in that class, and time went by, and you missed class, and then it's exam time, or it's midterm, and what'd you do? You did what we all did. You stayed up all night, you begged, borrowed, steal, you tried to get, samples of old exams and, copies of old test papers. And you did your best and you made a C. Because C's get degrees. That's what you kept telling yourself. C's get degrees. C's get degrees, right? The problem is there are areas of life where that works. That works, okay? Getting ready for a presentation, getting ready for a sales presentation, getting ready for a meeting. You know, you're supposed to lead the meeting. Oh my gosh, I forgot. So you get there an hour early and you cram and you do a pretty good job. And people say, that was spectacular. And that just, you think, I'm going to procrastinate all the time. I do better under pressure. In fact, some of you would say, I work better under pressure. But here's what I want you to understand. The way that God made the world to work, you cannot cram, you cannot do an all-nighter to make up for the most important areas of life. In the areas that are most important in life, you cannot make up for lost time. It worked in school, it worked with exams, it works with presentations, it doesn't work in relationships, it generally doesn't work financially, and it doesn't work with spiritual maturity. Because spiritual maturity is maturity. You cannot rush or cram for maturity. Maturity takes time, and it takes constant deposits of time over time. That's just the way the world works. Now, if that's the case, and I mean, you may argue with some of my finer points, but generally you know that to be the case in the most important areas of life. If that's the way the world works, if that's the way Christians believe God made the world to work, if the most important areas of life, you need small deposits of time over time, then what would you expect God to say to us on this topic? And if there really is a God who loves you, and if there's a God that we address as Heavenly Father, that we really believe is Heavenly Father, what would God say to us on this topic? And it's exactly what you would expect. And it's why, if you don't, you should begin to read your Bibles. And don't go home today and say, you know what, I haven't read my Bible in a year. I'm going to read the whole thing. Don't do that, okay? That doesn't work either, all right? It's small deposits of time over time. But here's what the Apostle Paul says that God says as it relates to time. And this is the passage we looked at the beginning of this series. And I just want to go back to it because it is the essence of what this principle is all about. He says this. He says, therefore, be careful how you walk or be careful how you live, not as unwise men, but as wise. And then look at this phrase, making the most of your time, making the most of your time. Of all the things he could have applied as he talks about wisdom. I mean, there's so many things he could apply this to, just like we're applying it to so many areas in this series. The one thing the Apostle Paul decided to pause and reference specifically was the use of time, because he understood time equals life. Time is your most valuable asset. It's your most valuable commodity. You don't get any extra. When you run out, you're out. You can't save it up for the future. When it's over, it's over. And he says, if you're going to walk wisely, and if you're going to be careful how you live your life, then you've got to be specifically careful about how you use your time. And look at this phrase. He says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time. And this little phrase, making the most, literally means to redeem or to get full value out of. He says, I want you to redeem your time. That is, as you consider how much time you have and as you consider what you do with your time, make sure you're getting full value out of your time. Don't be unwise, be wise. Therefore means in light of everything he's just said. Therefore means in light of everything we've just explained. He says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most, getting the most value out of your time. And then you remember what his motivation was? We looked at this the first week. He says, because the days are evil. Now, in his particular context, he was probably referring to something very specific. But you know what? This applies to all of us. Because when the days are evil, he's talking about the culture they lived in, the times that they lived in. And here's what you know, and here's what I know. If I simply spend my time the way culture would have me spend my time, if I simply spend my time the way my appetites want me to spend my time, if I simply pick up my feet and allow myself to be taken by the stream of culture and what's happening around me, I will not only not redeem my time, we've all learned this the hard way, we will waste our time because your appetites aren't gonna help you. And for the most part, culture isn't gonna help you. So Paul says this, he goes, come on, Christians. Now he's writing to Christians, but hey, everybody can play. But Christians specifically, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise. Unwise is like, it doesn't matter, I'll make up for it later. No, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time. Because after all, if you're not intentional, if you're accidental, if you're haphazard, you'll look back on this stage of life right now that you're in. Whether it's high school, college, starting your first job, engaged, early married, got a couple kids, whatever stage of life you're in right now, you will look back on this stage and you'll think, how could I have been so foolish to have wasted that much time? So here's the question. Where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? Where do you need right now, what area of your life or maybe areas, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? In light of your past experience, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? Truth is, some of you have some bad habits, right? And the truth is, some of you racked up some debt. The truth is, some of you've damaged some relationships. The truth is, some of you are just flat out of shape. In light of where you've been and in light of what's happening, in light of what's where you want to be in the future, what do you need to do now? For some of you, do you know what this relates to? Your family of origin. In light of your past experience, in light of the family that you grew up in light of the temptations that come along with being raised in the family that you were raised in, what do you need to begin doing right now with your time? The second facet is, you know, in light of my current circumstances or in light of this current stage of life, in light of this current stage of life, what's the wise thing to do with my time? Now, let me say something real quick to those of you who are single or college students. You're not going to believe this. One day, if you get married, you're going to look back on these years and you're going to think, what was I doing all that time? You're going to think, I should have written a novel. I should have produced a television series. I should have written a string of novels. I should have changed the world. I had so much time. What did I do with all of that extra time? So I'm telling you, in light of your current circumstances, in light of this right now season of life, what is the wise thing? What is it that you need to begin now doing in light of what's going on around you now? And then the third aspect is your future hopes and dreams. In light of my future hopes and dreams, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? In light of your future hopes and dreams, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? Now, the thing is, all of you, even if you don't have goals written down, all of us have a picture of where we want to be one day, right? All of us have a picture of where we want to be relationally. Most of us have a picture of where we'd like to be spiritually. We'd like to have greater faith, greater engagement, greater understanding. Most of us know where we'd like to be in the future as it relates to our finances and our health. So in light of those things, where do you need to begin making small deposits of time in light of where you want to be in the future? So if you string all this together, here's the question. In light of your past experience, your current circumstances, and your future hopes and dreams, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? Physically, relationally, professionally, spiritually. Now, all of this is, you know, a little bit about the future. All of this is pretty much about, you know, from here on out. But some of us, and I would be the some of us have been living long enough, have lived long enough to be able to look back and see the benefits of doing this or to see the consequences of doing this. Back in 1994, we had just had our first little boy, Andrew. He's now in college. He was about a little over 1 year old. He just started walking, is what I remember. He just started walking, and we had sold or pretty much given away a condo that no one would buy, and somebody came along and said, I think I'm interested. We said, sold! Anyway, got out of the condo, moved into a rental house, and one of our, you know, my primary hobby back then was music, and I had a little music studio, and I wrote music and produced music and recorded music, and I wasn't all that good, but I was real passionate about it, like a lot of people when it comes to music. You know, we all think we're better than we are. Okay, I was one of those people who thought they were better than they were, but I loved it. It's what I did. And so I could go down to the basement, and you may have a hobby or a passion like this. When I would go down to the basement in my little studio, time just went away. I mean, I could be up all night, you know, it just went away. And there was some tension in my relationship with Sandra over this. And part of her would be like, Andy, she wanted to say, Andy, why don't you go down in your music studio and enjoy yourself? But then she felt like I was subtracting time from our family and this little Andrew, you know, paddling around. So we just moved into this rental house. I'm down in the basement. I'm unpacking all my gear, you know, because I got the rest of the house all set up. Undoing my studio, and I can hear those footprints on a little hardwood floor up there of him walking around. I can sort of hear Sandra's voice up there, and there's this tension. Because when I'm with my family, I feel like the studio's calling, Andy, come down here, you know. When I'm down there, I sort of feel like, Andy, you need to take the time you spend with music and you need to apply it to your family in light of your current season of life, in light of your current season of life, in light of your current season of life. Not what is the right thing to do. This isn't a right and wrong thing. Not what is the legal thing to do. This isn't a legal thing. What's the wise thing to do? The moral of the story isn't sell your camera equipment and sell your hunting rifles and, you know, quit doing your hobbies. That's not it. For me, this was a big, big deal. And the real issue really was, what's the wise thing to do with this big block of time that you're about to begin another season of investing in something that's really just a hobby, something that you enjoy, but as you know, Andy, it's taken away from what is most important. So I wrestled and wrestled. So finally I decided, okay, God, this is a big deal. So I packed it all up and I sold everything or gave everything away. I couldn't even have it down there in boxes. It had to just disappear because it was such a big deal. And the only thing I kept was my green Stratocaster. Now, the reason, I'll tell you why in a second, and if you're engaged or you hope to be engaged, let me just give you a tip, okay? Hopefully your future spouse isn't here. When you get married, you have to give an account to each other about how you spend your money. Okay? So I wanted this guitar and we were about to get married and I thought, if I'm gonna get it, I better get it now. Okay? So this was my engagement splurge, okay? That's not even good relational advice. But anyway, that's how I got this. I was at a Kenny Loggins concert. Anybody, you know, meet me halfway, Kenny Loggins? Anybody remember the Danger Zone? Okay, anyway, so, and it was at Chastain Park, and he came out with a green Stratocaster. I thought, I have to have that guitar. So anyway, I went out and bought this guitar. So the only thing I didn't get rid of in all my musical stuff was my green Stratocaster, and I kept it. And I'd put it in the case and slid it under the bed. I never played it. I just kept it all those years. And here's the thing. When you make a decision like this, and for some of you, you're kind of wishing I hadn't even used this illustration because it's really kind of getting close to home. But when you make a decision like this, and you know in your heart this is the right thing to do, but you look in your circumstances and you think, this isn't paying off, this isn't working out, you know, suddenly the heavens haven't parted and I got the dream job or the dream girl, the dream guy, you know, nothing's happening. I feel like I just made a sacrifice. I just feel like I took a chunk of time that I used to spend here and now I'm spending it here. I didn't understand the full implications and I didn't gain any real reward for this for about 15 years. Because 15 years later, my third child, Allie, turned 13. And when about the time she turned 13, she was very musical. She loved to sing and dance and all that. The two boys were totally into sports, but Allie was kind of our musician. And she came to me one day and she said, Daddy, would you teach me to play the guitar? Now, let me just tell you something. You can empathize if you can think back to when you were 13 and your dad, okay? Can you get that picture? Okay, for some of you it's pretty, for some of you it's like not pretty, okay? Would have never asked him to ever come in my room for anything, okay? So for my 13-year-old daughter, okay, we're starting the teenage years with the daughter, first daughter, that whole scary thing, you know? We're kind of driving blind, you know. And for her to come to me and say, Daddy, would you teach me to play the guitar? I'm like, are you kidding? And this began for us our connection. She's 18 now. She just turned 18. This was our connection through those what could have been and what scared parents to death in terms of those difficult years. And here's what I've thought of 100 times. I thought, what if? And I don't know. Maybe I'm playing too much into this. Maybe I'm building this up more than it is. But this is just my little world. So many times I've thought, what if I hadn't traded the music for the family? I wonder if I would even be doing music now with my daughter, because I wonder if she would have ever invited me in to that part of her life. So not too long after that, I pulled out my big rectangle plastic Fender case out from underneath the bed, and I said, Allie, look, it's Daddy's guitar. Would you like to have my electric guitar? And she's like, are you kidding me? So thus the pink strap, because some of you thought, so what, you wear like a pink strap while you play the guitar? No, we had to go to the store and sort of personalize this for Allie, and thus the pink strap. But I'm telling you, for me, this is just me. This is an icon. For me, this is a reminder of what may have been the best parenting decision I ever made, and I didn't know I was making it at the time. All I knew was this, was that there was a tension, there was a struggle, there was a block of time that was going to one thing, and I had a sense that maybe that block of time needed to be invested somewhere else. And I don't know, but I have a feeling that the relationship that was built by taking it from category A and putting it in category B is the reason that music was reintroduced into my life through my daughter. And looking back, I wouldn't give anything for our relationship. I wouldn't give anything, because here's what I've seen with so many families, and if you're in this situation, I'm not trying to stir up things and I'm not trying to make you feel bad. This is just the reality. In certain areas of life, if you don't make consistent deposits of time, you can't make up for it later. You cannot cram for a relationship. You cannot cram for your physical health. You cannot cram for spiritual maturity. Maturity takes time. All of these things take consistent deposits of time over time. And this is the time to begin. Now again, you can stop short of doing anything about it. You can just ask it. But here's what I've said for the last couple of weeks. I don't want you to miss this. If you know the wise thing to do, and you choose not to do it, it means that you don't have your own best interest in mind. It means that you don't have your own best interest at heart. It means that you are not as concerned about your own future as you may pretend to be. Because small deposits of time over time are what make all the difference in the world in the most important areas of life. So let me close with this. Therefore, be careful how you live. Therefore, with all that in mind, be careful how you live. Not as unwise. Unwise takes no effort, but there's a high price to pay. Unwise takes no intentionality, but there's a high price to pay. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time. And if you do, in the next season of your life, if you do, in the next stage of your life, you'll look back on this season, you'll look back at this stage, and you'll be glad that you did. But the decision is up to you.
Thanks so much for listening to Your Move. Don't forget what we're celebrating this month. Your Move now airs on NBC after SNL in Las Vegas. This would not have been possible without the generosity of our podcast listeners. Thanks to you, better decisions are coming to the city that never sleeps.